Having sung to the Lord, let us turn our attention to our psalm and sermon text for this morning, looking at Psalm 42 to conclude our family worship look at some of the psalms this morning. Psalm 42, beginning at verse 1, reading through the end of the psalm, again the inspired and the inerrant word of God, do give your ear to it. To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Have you found yourself downcast in your soul during these past few months? It has been in many different ways for each of our lives, but it has been a universally difficult and trying couple of months. Some of us perhaps have experienced this to a greater degree than others. Each of us has experienced this in a unique way to others. But I suspect that many of you can resonate with the psalmist here, who describes himself as having a soul that is downcast. As you work through disruptions, frustrations, anxieties, worries, upheavals in normal life, do you long for God? Do you long for intimate, peaceful time with the God who loves you, the God who saves you, the God who made you, and the God who says that he is your life? This psalm is a model of longing for God in the midst of the desert, as it were, in the midst of exile. A psalm that calls us to long for God, seeking him in faith and knowing, trusting that as we seek him, God will fulfill that desire. God will draw you into his presence. God will draw you to himself, and God will free you from all of those things that are a part of fallen life, which press against us: sin, persecution, suffering. The desire to be relieved of these things, the desire to be relieved from sin, to no longer suffer, to no longer be isolated, to no longer be mocked or oppressed or persecuted or made fun of. All of these desires find their fulfillment in the desire to be with God, to be in his presence. For in God's presence there is no sin, there is no death, there is no evil thing. God is the source of all life and blessedness and goodness and beauty. And as our catechism rightly says, it is man's chief end, our main purpose, not only in this life, but to all eternity to come, is to glorify and to enjoy God forever. This psalm is an expression of that desire to enjoy God, recognizing that in God is the solution to everything which oppresses and discourages us here in this life. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, do you long for the Lord? Do you long for him? Do you recognize that as you suffer and long for release from that suffering, as you have unfulfilled desires, insofar as those desires are good, the ultimate fulfillment of all of these things is found only in God himself. And this psalm is a call for us in the midst of even our darker days and weeks and months to seek God in faith, knowing that as we see Jesus risen from the dead, God will fulfill his promises to you. And though your soul may be downcast now, you will again praise the Lord in glory and in this life as well. I want us to unpack this in a little more detail. First, remember God in the dark paths of life. Right? Take the act of simply remembering God when you find yourself in those dark corners of life where we are discouraged, frustrated, burdened beyond our strength. Remember God. And second, as you remember God, seek his blessing through faith. So remember God, even in those dark moments of life. And second, seek God's blessing by faith. Roughly speaking, we're going to consider this from verses 1 to 7 first, and then verse 8 through 11. Look at all of the descriptors that the psalmist makes here of his situation. He asserts his longing for God. He's thirsty after the Lord in verse 1 and 2. From this we know that he perceives that he has been far off from God. He misses intimate fellowship with the Lord. He has been going through a time of grief over this as well, perhaps other things in life. We see several times that he has been mocked. He's either been mocked directly for his faith, verse 3, where is your God? Again, verse 10, he has adversaries who say, where is your God? It's possible that this is simply other peoples making fun of his religion. It's also possible that he has been suffering and God has not delivered him yet out of this suffering. And so those around him are mocking him. Where is your God now as he suffers? And so he has been in a state of grief. His tears day and night have been his food, he says. He is cast down, verse 5. Verse 5 again, he is cast down. He views his situation as if God's judgments have totally swept over him, that he is under an overwhelming judgment of the Lord. Verse 7, deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. He views himself as being swallowed up in the tumultuous and powerful sea of the judgments of God. He's in a dark place, a place of isolation, a place of separation, separation from friends, separation from his God, a place where he is grieving and sorrowful, and a place where the people around him are mocking him, persecuting him. What are some of the darker places in your life that you have been? It looks different for each of us, but we all go through these dark valleys where the light seems to grow very dim. Maybe you find yourself in one of those now. Certainly many people are, as a result of all of the disruption in life. This is not an uncommon experience, even for the Christian, even for the faithful Christian. And it's an experience that you would do well to note from Scripture how we are to respond. And what we see here in the psalm is that in the midst of this dark place, from this distant place of isolation, perhaps out in the wilderness land, these places mentioned in verse 6, the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, from this dark place, the psalmist remembers God. You see this mentioned emphatically a couple of times there in the text. The end of verse 3 and opening of verse 4, he says, "These things I remember." And then in verse 6, "Therefore I remember you." What is it that the psalmist remembers? What is it that you are to remember in those dark places of life, where all seems to be grievous evil? Well, the psalmist remembers the work of God and his enjoyment in God from the past. He remembers who God is. He remembers that God is his salvation, verse 5. He remembers how there were brighter days in the past of worship of God. Most likely he's remembering how he would worship God in Jerusalem, the place from which he is far away at the moment. He remembers, verse 4, how he would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. He remembers this time of joy where all of God's people were gathered together at the place of worship, which in the Old Testament was the temple there in Jerusalem, and they gathered together. Perhaps he's remembering one of the many feasts that the nation of Israel was to keep to remember and to commemorate all of the saving acts and mighty power of God to them as their God. He remembers the good times, and specifically the good times where he was able to engage with the Lord, along with the fellowship of the believers around him. He remembers also that God's acts in the past always carry the promise of further deliverance in the future. This is what enables him to conclude in verse 5 that though in the present moment his soul is cast down and in turmoil, he can conclude, nevertheless, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. In that statement, we see the psalmist remembering that as he remembers God's actions in the past, that carries with it always a promise of further deliverance in the future. And he remembers that even though in the present moment God has not acted yet to deliver him from his circumstances, in the present moment, it does not appear that the Lord remembers him. Verse 9, he believes that God has forgotten him. Nevertheless, he still calls God my salvation and my God. He remembers God's faithfulness, even though he is not experiencing something that he recognizes as God's faithfulness. And brothers and sisters, how often do we completely get this wrong? Do you find that in those dark times you find yourself doubting God's faithfulness? That you doubt his purposes to you? That you doubt perhaps even whether he will save you at all? In either a temporal sense of delivering you out of whatever it is that is distressing you, or in an ultimate sense of giving to you that resurrection life and glory that he promises you in his son Jesus. Do you doubt these things? They're easy to doubt, and it's why the scriptures call us to remember. In those dark times, if you are there now, if you are in a dark place now where your soul is cast down and in turmoil, that dark night of the soul, then from the scriptures, you are to remember the Lord, to remember Christ Jesus, that he was crucified for you, bearing your sins, and that he rose from the dead on the third day, and that that action, his resurrection from the dead, it carries with it the very powerful promise of God that you also, like him, will be delivered out of this present fallen age into the resurrection forever, to enjoy that imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance spoken of in 1 Peter, which we read earlier, that is kept in heaven for you by the power of God. If you are not now in a dark place, you would do well to do the work of remembering these things, knowing that most likely at some point in your future, you're going to go through some dark places. Even if you haven't yet, particularly if some of you younger folks have never been through a time of extreme difficulty, you will. The Lord tests his people, and the Lord refines us in the refiner's fire, and it is often unbearably painful and burdensome. And you see this here in the psalm, as the psalmist himself is cast down, believing that God has forgotten him, given him over to the oppression of the enemy. You see this all over in the life of God's people recorded through Scripture. Don't be surprised when it happens to you. And so be prepared in your own Christian walk and thinking that you would not be surprised when it happens that you are wondering where God is or what he's doing and if he's left you in the wilderness to die. Rather than being surprised by those times, be prepared for them. Be prepared to go through this process of working to remember, working to instruct your own mind and heart to remember God's saving actions, God's faithful promises, most of all, the salvation that you see God has given you in the death and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus, crucified for you. Remember God and his salvation in those dark days of this present evil age. The resurrection of Christ is not a distant historical fact that has no relevance to what you are going through. The resurrection of Christ brings with it the promise of God that as you believe upon him, that past resurrection of Christ is a guarantee of your union with Christ through faith and your future resurrection. And as you remember these things, you are to seek God's blessing through faith. The psalmist remembers God. He takes the conscious act of remembering, and from that conscious act of remembering, he then seeks and pleads with God in faith. He remembers God's character, and he remembers God's relationship to him, which is the same relationship of God to every Christian, to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, he remembers, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock. You see the relationship that the psalmist is remembering here. He's remembering who God is. God is a God of steadfast love. He is a God who is with you. He is the God of your life, and he is your rock. Those are truths that never change for the Christian. They don't change on the most joyful day of your life, and they don't change on the darkest day of your life. The Lord does not change. His faithfulness is the same. His salvation remains the same. And as we remember these things, we are then to act, to speak to God, to pray to him, to express the longings of our heart, not in a defiant or a sinful way, which would seek to accuse God of evil, but in that honest way of the psalm here and elsewhere in Scripture. Lord, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? You see what's being said here. Lord, why do you continue to let me go through this? Why do you continue to bring me through times of suffering, times of oppression? In the imagery of verse 10, as if we walk around with a deadly wound in our bones. The adversary in the original writing here is specifically these adversaries in verse 10 who are taunting him, saying, "Where is your God?" But the oppression of the enemy here in verse 9 certainly would apply to all those other enemies of God's people. Human adversaries to the cause of Christ, but the devil himself and even death. spoken of as the last enemy to be defeated. How long do we go around sick and oppressed and suffering and remaining sinful? Lord, why have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten me? Sometimes seeking God means prayerfully working through those questions in your heart and doing it with faith. This is not a psalm which encourages faithlessness or a psalm which encourages you to turn away from God. That's what these adversaries are doing. The adversaries, the plan of the enemy is always to get you to ask the question, where is God? And to conclude, God is nowhere. He either doesn't exist or he certainly doesn't care about me for whatever reason. And this is a lie. And the response of the psalm and the response of the Christian, your response, is never to believe the lie. Never to fully give into it that God has left you, that God has forgotten you, because that is not true. And that is why the psalm ends on this note of hope, this refrain again repeated in verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I will again praise him, my salvation and my God. He recognizes, even though his faith perhaps is small, even though his faith is perhaps struggling to connect the dots from what he knows of God to his present suffering and distress, he knows nevertheless that what God says is true. He knows that a right examination of the facts would lead to the conclusion that he should not be cast down. For, as he said in verse 8, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. If any of us were able to zoom out to the bird's eye view of eternity looking back, we would be able to see the good purposes that God was working out at every chapter of our lives, even those that were the darkest and the most difficult and the most filled with tears and suffering. But we don't have that perspective. That perspective is known only to God. And so in the midst of that, we are to remember God and to seek him with faith, remembering that God's word is true, concluding that it is true, concluding that the Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, really is our salvation, really is our hope. It really secures our hope. Do you believe that the future is bright for you? Do you believe that things will get better, that you will be able to enjoy God free from suffering and evil and oppression, persecution? Do you believe that you will be able to enjoy God living life to the fullest, free of all those things? That's what the resurrection of Christ has secured for you. The resurrection of Christ has secured for you. It has guaranteed it. No matter what comes in this life, no matter if the next chapter in this life is joyful or sorrowful, all of the chapters of our life are leading to a state of joy and celebration and fulfillment as we enter into the resurrection with Christ. And this is not something which is only relevant in the future. God tells us that even now our life is hidden with Christ in God. And God is the living God, as is said here in the psalm. God is not an abstract force. He is the living God who loves his people, who loves you. And God will deliver you out of distress. You have every reason to believe that in God's timing and according to God's infinitely wise purposes, God is leading you to better times. If you are in the midst of joyful times now, then you can also have the assurance that the next time suffering and dark days come, well, the Lord will bring you through that as well. You never have to fear that God's promises are somehow null and void because of the circumstances of this present evil age. That's not true. And I encourage you and ask you, brothers and sisters, are you longing for God, remembering him, and seeking him by faith? This is the work of Christian faith in many ways, as we walk with God, taking the day-to-day experience of our life and holding it up against God's word and concluding that God's word is true, and trusting that because we see Jesus, we see that God has fulfilled his word. He sent his son to take my sins, and Jesus died bearing my sins, and he rose from the dead, never to die again, and ascended to heaven for my salvation. And because I see that, I know that God will hear me, God will not leave me, God will deliver me out of my present distress, and ultimately God is leading me to a place where I will fully enjoy him. I will no longer suffer grief or isolation or oppression. I will never suffer these things again, because I will be with God, enjoying him to all eternity because of his saving power given to me in Jesus, his Son. Remember and trust in these precious promises that God has given to you from his word, brothers and sisters. Let us pray.